You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, starting going into this movie, they're like, hey, talk about the thing that you did that was made you the worst kid possible. And me and Kim are like, I didn't do anything bad. And watching this movie, I feel like I might have been a bad kid compared to these kids. Like, Jesus Christ.
We could have gotten away with anything when we were younger. And we did nothing. We were reading books. What's wrong with us, Ben?
I don't know, but we were better off than these kids who didn't even know what a sex doll was when they had the goddamn internet.
That's true.
Well,
they put in porn. Sorry, we're going to be sidetracked for just 1 second. They put in porn. They came to some one video of a stepmom with her son performing some type of butt kissing. It was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, they say supposedly in America, incest porn is popular, which is one, very troubling, and then two, they found the analingus incest porn, so good on them.
Good job. Yeah. You gotta dig deep for that sometimes.
Literally. Okay, before we get too far, we are talking about the film Good Boys. I am Ben.
I'm Cam.
And we're joined by our newcomer.
I'm Mike.
So, Mike, we're sorry for breaking you in with us already having banter. Good Boys is a movie directed by Gene Stupinski, which I wish I tried to read that before this, because I'm pretty sure I butchered it. But it's three kids, Max, Thor, and Lucas, who are titular good kids. Like, literally, like, white bread, like, never thought about sex past, ooh, kissing, good kids. And one of them is really into this one girl, and the cool kids are like, hey, you should come to this kissing party where she'll be at. And it's like, shit, we really got to do this. And basically, they steal his dad's drone to learn how to kiss. It gets stolen by these high school girls that then basically they steal their drugs. And it's kind of a run all over to try to get the new drone and get away from the drugs. And I don't know where else to go with it from there.
It's just a series of crazy hijinks that are all leading to two 12-year-old kids kissing. That's the summary in two sentences, really. My favorite thing going straight into the movie was how all of the kids are, I think they're about 12 years old, so they all have the most crazy Gen Z names. Like, one of the main kids, as Ben pointed out, is named Thor, of course, after the God of Thunder, which I'm sure there are many children in that age range now. Same as Khaleesi and, you know, all of these fantasy names that young people our age are naming their children, which is awesome. I'm so here for it.
Well, Mike, did you do anything near this crazy as a kid?
I think I snuck out once or twice, but there were no sex toys or anything like that. So I think I was okay.
Okay, yeah, because I only went into the door wearing a Gimp mask at least once. But, I mean, that was for its own reasons. Not the same as this movie.
So, other than, I mean, I know we tried to break down the plot a little bit, saying, I mean, on paper, it looks like the plot isn't much as far as, like, hijinks ensue, but the hijinks that they do get into are really funny. They like to go really far as far as the sex toys go. These are 12-year-old kids playing with anal beads and ball gags and Gimp masks. And if my mom's listening, I Googled all of these things. I didn't really know what they were going into the movie. And that was a little bit uncomfortable for me, just to see children who, if I were to see them on the street, I'd say, oh, look at these little talking babies walking around playing on sex swings. So how did y'all feel about being comfortable watching children perform these different activities that were sexual, violent, cursing, alcohol, drugs. They had everything in this movie.
I think, like, the cursing is normal to me. I feel like, you know, everyone curses at that age. I was a little bit surprised by all the sex toys. Like, I don't know, maybe my parents hid their sex toys well, but I never found any as a kid, so I knew what they were, but I never, like, touched them or saw them.
Yeah, I can see that. I never saw them either, like, but I was aware. These kids are played off as super unaware of any of this, which I feel like is them just trying to go really hard to be edgy, and I never really felt like that worked for me, because I'm like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we're edgy. Look at these kids with sex toys that they don't know. It's so humorous, and I'm like, dude, I knew a reasonable amount of sex toys in, like, fifth grade, and I didn't have the goddamn internet. Or I had the internet, but not as easily accessible. Like, these kids have their own goddamn laptops. They each have a full smartphone. I'm like, dude, you can Google this shit. Like, you're looking up the porn on the on a Surface. I'm like, whose computer is that, number one? Two, like, do that on your phone where it's harder for people to track that shit.
Tip for your iPhones, future. So yeah, it could have happened.
Exactly. That's kind of my biggest issue with this whole movie is I'm like, a lot of this, these kids are played as way too fresh-faced and unaware of anything. And when the way they play it up, yeah, there's some really funny times where they're super unaware of things. But then I get taken back out of it and I'm just like, but I don't feel like they wouldn't be aware of that.
So as far as the writers and directors and all those people involved, Seth Rogen is a part of this, right?
Yeah.
It had a very Seth Rogen-y vibe.
It's produced by him, Jonah Hill. And Evan Goldberg, who's produced a lot of these as well.
Yeah, I can see these guys all smoking together in a room, like, hey man, what if we, like, redid Superbad with 12-year-olds? And then they're all like, can someone do a Seth Rogen laugh? Ben, I feel like that would be you. Can
wow,
you
Jewish, I gotta do the Seth Rogen laugh? I see it now, God.
I thought you were Canadian. No? Oh, that must be my other Jewish friend, Ben. I'm sorry. Oh, God.
Well, let's see. This director, well, he's got a long list on Wikipedia of writing credits for The Office, because that's where we're at in our generation now, is that you get more credits for The Office than your feature film. Let's see. He wrote the screenplay for the new Ghostbusters. He wrote the screenplay for Year One, which isn't that great, for Bad Teacher, which is pretty okay.
Yeah, all of these have gotten chuckles out of me. I'm not angry at any of them. I thought it was very... It had Seth Rogen's voice. If you've... Even on the poster for the movie, it had From the People of Superbad and Sausage Party and... what's that other movie that they did?
Neighbors?
Neighbors, yeah. It was... If you like those movies, you will love this movie. It's that same tone. The only thing that I was kind of icky about was it being younger children, because it is a very mature type of movie as far as the themes that they had going through it. We've already mentioned the sexual nature of a lot of their jokes. They also put the kids in danger a lot, which is kind of a trigger for me. And I know these guys know I literally could not. I was putting my head down because I cannot watch anybody really be in a harmful situation, much less 12-year-old kids who are putting themselves in life-threatening situations for the silliest of purposes.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest issue is... I can't say I'm the biggest fan of Superbad. I like it. I don't love it like a lot of people do. But I felt like it was at least a lot of the scenarios they end up in are a lot more grounded than this. Like, even, like, the most absurd one in that, which is, like, you know, the cops with that, like, accepting the ID and, like, you know, doing donuts and they burn the car. It's like, that at least feels like a little bit more grounded of, like, yeah, these guys are really, like, cops that never grew up type of thing. This movie takes it to, like, the biggest extreme where it's like, yeah, kids may not have a full sense of things, but one, they're sixth graders. They're at least, like, as they say, they're tweens. You have some better sense to not run through traffic. Like, these things don't make sense to me, and it feels too over the top. Like, it could have been a really good coming-of-age show, because I think the whole cast is really good, actually. I think all these kids, Jacob Tremblay, or Tremblay, who plays Max, is probably the lead character in this movie. He's also probably the biggest actor as far as any of them with a career right now.
He did look familiar.
He's the Predator he was in, newer one, and stuff like that. I thought he was really good as, like, the kid who's, like, already kind of striving for, like, being a bit more grown up compared to the others and, like, actually looking at it more in a balanced way.
So, yeah, the boys are, I guess, the protagonists, if we had to name them, but their antagonists happen to be two slightly older teenage girls who are just trying to get drugs.
I love them.
And so the boys stole the drugs from the older teenage girls. And so a big like side plot of the movie, the main plot is the boys are trying to get a drone because they broke the original one. So they need to get a replacement drone before their dad finds out they broke the original one. But a side plot is the teenage girls are trying to steal the drugs back from them. So there's a whole scene that is my favorite scene of the movie, where one of the older teenage girls, the boys are on a bike, and it's a chase scene pretty much, where the boys are on a bike and the two teenage girls are in a car and they're chasing the boys. And the boys get on the sidewalk, of course, to get away from the cars. And one of the teenage girls gets out of the car. The camera zooms in really tight on her New Balances. And then she immediately gives chase to the boys.
That was a pretty
and
good
it time. Is a scene from Terminator T3, I think specifically, where they had the female Terminator. But she is flipping over stairs and sliding down poles and, you know, hustling over all types of obstacles to chase the boys with a very determined look on her face, and it is hilarious. This actress who
it's Midori Francis as Lily?
Yes, I see a great potential in her future, whether as an actress or a track star. I don't know, but I am here for it. She had some of the best comedic lines in the movie. The boys I thought were hit or miss as far as hitting their beats,
sure,
with their jokes. And a lot of their scenes, for some reason, ended with them crying. I know they're trying to portray that these boys are naive and younger than they're acting, but I don't know if the crying was really hitting the funny bone for me as much as the director wanted it to. But the teenage girls who were giving chase to the boys the whole movie, every time they were on screen, I was laughing my ass off. They were, obviously they're more mature because they're probably 6-7 years older than the young boy actors. But it was a nice side plot to follow, and it always livened up the movie. The movie also wasn't that long, only an hour and a half.
Something like that.
Yeah, they knew how to keep it sweet and short.
Well, fair enough. Did it fly by, honestly?
Definitely. Like, I think it flew by. Like you mentioned, the girls were some of my favorite parts. Someone who kind of stuck out to me was the obnoxious boyfriend, just because, like, he was really trying to, like, I guess, be something for her, and he wasn't, so he kind of got upset, and, like, they really played that up. I loved his run at the end.
Oh, yeah. You mean Josh Karras, the Benji, the
Jovio
guy? Yeah.
Yeah, the frat boy.
I will say that they have a scene with the frat boys that is actually one of the best spectacle scenes in this movie, and I think a lot of things are over the top, I think that scene kind of actually just works.
Yeah, it sold it, and it was unexpected. A lot of things you could kind of see coming, or it was like, okay, I see that they're going to take that next step in this direction. But with the frat house scene, I had no idea it was going to escalate so quickly and be so hilarious. If you ever want to see three teenage boys just go into a frat house and cause damage, you watch this movie, because it had one of that scene in the Terminator teenage girl scene where stole the movie for me. I would 100% rent this movie again just to watch those two scenes.
Interesting. I mean, I kind of disagree, because I feel like I don't know if I rent it again, because I feel like it could have been a really good coming of age story, really funny one too, but it wanted to be spectacle and over the top. It wanted to outdo Superbad. It just threw me off a lot of times. Like, you know, I definitely feel like the kids crying thing was like, I think they thought that was really funny, but it's not. You know, the amount of, like, you know, the kids, like, fucking themselves over, like, Lucas, when he keeps turning them in for things.
I never liked that character who's just like, I can't keep a secret, so I'm going to blurt out, you know, the secret to the exactly the wrong person because I'm so honest. Like, no, that's not realistic.
Right, they act like this is almost like a new thing for him. It's like, no, this is clearly what he's always done, and you guys can't be surprised by that when you've, you know, he's been your best friend for a while.
Yeah, just so innocent. Like, you can change a little bit. Just be quiet for a minute.
Oh, as far as realism goes, though, I did really enjoy how, of course, all of the kids in the movie are 12. I enjoyed how all the girls in the middle school were significantly taller than the boys. It was so realistic to just how puberty works. All the girls were obviously, you know, just right there, hormones percolating, all that good stuff. And the boys just hadn't quite, their voices were still kind of high-pitched. They had a few scenes with the boys working out, and you could see they literally had little bird bodies. It was so cute. But that was just a detail that I enjoyed, especially since so many shows will cast actors who are not in the age range they're supposed to be. It was like, no, these kids are 100% 12 years old.
I give this movie credit for definitely casting within the age group. It was a little bit weird, though, sometimes with that, where it's just like, you know, you see them at the high school, and then it's like, well, is this a high school, is it a middle school, when the high school girls are there? It's just like, nope, nobody finds this weird. I don't know.
I mean, my high school and middle school were right next to each other, okay. So we kind of intermingled a bit.
Okay, I didn't have that. Maybe it's just me.
A different experience, Ben. I mean, what can I tell you?
This was just my time as a bad kid. I never paid attention to the other side of the tracks.
Oh, wow. Let's see, what else was going on in this movie? They had these really interesting sound beats where if there was something dramatic happening, they would... So they didn't really... They would have these, like, super gangster songs happen whenever the boys were, I guess, doing something quote-unquote badass. And it wasn't just, like, you know, Drake. It was, like, someone saying, like, dropping N-words and F-words and, you know, suck on my balls. Like, it was hardcore rap songs.
They had the really well-known on Nobody Speak, Nobody Get Choked, which is a fantastic song, but also felt like... It almost felt like Office Space, but, like... not as aware of the joke as Office Space playing it. Like, I get they're trying to be aware. It's like, yeah, these are scrawny little kids, and it's gangster rap. It's like, you know, Office Space was kind of funny because they actually listened to that music. Whereas, like, these kids, there's never any sign to listen to that, especially with, like, the one Thor kid who's, like, really obsessed with getting into this musical. It's like, no, you, like, are seeing, like, classic rock at best.
Yeah, I was kind of worried going into it. They were just being really obvious with the character, I guess... descriptions or tropes or whatever. They had the main kid, of course, who he's a good kid, but he can easily be peer pressured into being bad depending on who he's around. So they kept setting it up where he had to make a decision to be bad or good, and of course he has his two friends like on either side of him, very obviously one friend saying, no, you shouldn't do this, like we should just go play D&D or whatever the made-up card game is in this world. They're basically the Stranger Things kids, which they full-on call out in the first 5 minutes. Even the black kid in this is named Lucas, just like Stranger Things. They're not subtle about this at all. And then the other kid, who's Thor, is just like, come on, man, like, be a badass, drink three sips of beer, or, you know, whatever it is. That was a running joke in the movie, by the way, the beer. Which doesn't pretty even, funny.
Kim, why don't you roll into your final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I actually was very amused for the whole movie. My biggest issue with it is I don't know who I would recommend to see this movie. I don't know who the audience is meant to be. Because, of course, children can't watch it because it's very inappropriate. I actually saw a commercial or a little video for this on Instagram where Seth Rogen was talking to the children, the main children of the movie, telling them, hey, I can't even really let you watch your own movie because it's so inappropriate and I don't want to remind you of what I had you do in this movie. And they were all like, oh, you know, F you, man. We'll do whatever you want. It was kind of a cute video, but after seeing the movie, I'm like, yeah, this was really inappropriate. Who are these kids' parents who let them play with anal beads and, you know, make, I don't even know, the jokes that they were making? I need to talk to all of your parents. How big were these checks that Seth Rogen cut you? Because you've scarred your children,
about
I imagine.
As big as those anal beads.
Those were huge. They were especially long, is what I was most concerned about. It's like, how many beads do you need? I might just have to look into this myself.
You just have to Google a porn.
A porn, yes. And it will immediately tell me all I need to know about anal beads and sleeping with my stepmom, I guess. I did enjoy even though I was super uncomfortable, I did enjoy the main cast of boys. I especially enjoyed the two girl antagonists. They had some pretty cool cameos throughout the movie. They had Retta, who's from Parks and Rec, be the mom of one of the boys. Who's they had,
Lil Rel as,
Lil Rel, yeah. They had him, and then since we're talking about The Office, they had the guy from the original Office. I'm not familiar with his name.
Oh, Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant. He had made, like, the most random cameo of just, like, a pervert.
They also Will Forte as Max's dad, which I always love Will Forte.
Yeah, he's a pleasure whenever he's on screen. So the adult cameos were all... It was one of the... Almost like a sight gag. Like, as soon as they came on, it was like, oh, I love that guy. This is awesome. So they kind of won me over with these little tidbits of, like, cameos, and then it was probably 50-50 with, like, jokes that were hit and misses. But it was enough hits for me that I was, like, amused throughout the movie. I think the ending dragged a bit.
Yeah.
It was kind of a Lord of the Rings ending where I was like, oh, the movie's over. Okay, now it's over. Okay, is it over now? I kept having me feel like, okay, these stories are definitely wrapped up. Why are we keep dragging on the stories of what's happening? It was a cute ending. It kind of was a coming-to-age story. I know Ben disagrees, but it was very true
to what
happened.
It just wasn't a good movie for it.
Yeah. It wasn't the movie I would choose to show a kid as far as coming to age. Show them The Breakfast Club. That is the best movie, in my opinion. But maybe when they're more like 14, 15, not 12. I thought the movie had a lot of issues, but it kept me generally pretty amused. I would probably give it... Also, I would highly recommend you have a drink and maybe something else if you're going to watch it, because that's going to raise your enjoyment. So, oddly, even though I say that, I'm going to say maybe like a 5 out of 10 sips of beer.
I was really expecting a higher rating, by the way you were going with that.
No, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I had so many issues with it. If I can't recommend a movie to someone, I'm not going to give it a high rating.
Fair enough. Well, how about you, Mike?
Oh, man, I really liked it. Like, I think this is like, if Superbad, those guys had kids, these would be those kids. Like, they were very naive, but still fun. Like, I get that they were kind of going too far at sometimes, or like, how can we top Superbad? How can we pass that up? What can we do to stand out from that? But I think it was a lot of fun. Like, they had some really wild moments. I would definitely bring this to friends that are maybe a bit younger, like in their 20s range. Like, I like to pretend I'm still in my 20s, so I'd definitely watch this with those friends. The girls, definitely, the high school girls, were probably one of my favorite parts. I think just because they were a bit older and they kind of like knew what they were doing. They were engaged overall. I feel bad. Like, I never know names, but the girl that was running was definitely probably like the best out of that group.
Yeah, it was Midori Francis as Lily, unless I'm getting the wrong character name, but I'm pretty sure it was Lily.
Yeah, her name was Lily.
Okay, cool. I'm not that perfect out of it. Cool.
Okay, so Lily was my favorite part. Like, I don't want to ruin it, but especially with the grilled cheese part, I think that's where she really, like, brought a slightly up elevated side to her. But definitely, I would bring this to my friend group. I think they would like it. I would say if I had to give it a rating, 6.5 beads out of 10.
Yeah, that half bead is the one that's
come
really
on, man,
uncomfortable.
Go for the 7. You got this.
You know, this is just hanging halfway in there. You don't want that.
Like, no, stop now. Beat. Stop now.
Just on the cusp. Oof. Yeah, this movie, I'm incredibly mixed on, because I laughed a lot. Don't get me wrong. It is a very funny movie. It's got a lot of great performances, but excuse me, it's reaching a lot, too. It wants to be something big and epic as Superbad. And Superbad was a really great coming-of-age story into its own, because that when you're reaching that going to college age, you're realizing, yeah, I can keep my friend group, but I also need to grow as myself. Whereas this movie tries to get some of that message, but I think the better message that it does hint at is you kind of got to let go of some of your old friend group, and that is where I think this movie could have really excelled. They really focused on that, but they spend so much time on these kids staying together as they continue to fight over things that, honestly, they have a really good reason to keep breaking up throughout this if they actually did it. It's like, oh God, you gotta cause me to dislocate my arm. Yeah, no, he's not taking that seriously. That's a fuck you. I'm sorry. Like, even adult friends or friends that I've known since, like, elementary school still, no, I'd say fuck you if you let me, like, dislocate my arm and say, no, we gotta ignore this. Like, and the fact that it makes such little sense how little any of these kids know about, like, anything sexual. Like, where they're like, yeah, you know, how many girls have you kissed? Oh, tons of them. Where? On their mouth. Ha ha! It's like, no, that's not... Like, they think of something a little bit more. I will say, though, this movie did have some times where it was, like, really clever. I love that... what was that? The kid Atticus, who was supposedly, like, he's got the best birds, and every time anybody insults him is the most hardcore insult that I've ever heard. Like,
oh my my God, yeah. What was one? It was like your mom.
Everybody knows your mom plagiarized her whole cookbook. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, that is ice cold. I am sorry. That is a fantastic burn.
Like, Atticus had the worst family, obviously. And it was... Also, I didn't like that actress. That little boy actor.
Oh, yeah.
He was giving me too much of Spider-Man's bully in Homecoming, but not as well.
Yeah, I can see that. He kind of wanted to be... I did like the kid who made no sense, Soren, like the really cool kid. I was like, you're a really weird character, and I kind of love how weird they're making
this. Was Soren was the little brother of the girl who we loved, which was awesome. But it was like, so just imagine the coolest kid in this whole middle school is like this... three and a half foot little Asian boy wearing a beanie, and then the other kids call him boss. It was the best thing ever.
I can't say that I don't really like this movie, but I don't think I'll ever really intentionally revisit it. It's on HBO or something like that. I might catch it at some point, but I'm not going out of my way for it. And I agree with Kim. I don't know who it's really for. Like, people who really like Superbad, I mean, a lot of our audience liked it, but that happens a lot of times when we see some bad movies that a lot of people connect with it. So... I guess I'm going to have to give it 5 out of 10 sips of a beer, which you really think after 2 wouldn't be challenging anymore.
You can't take my thing, man.
Damn it, you took sips of a beer?
If anything, do the anal beads. Man will take 5 anal beads in his ass for this movie. Alright, in the recording.
Oh, God damn. I told you, only 5.5. That's the most I got to.